The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob Enyart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel, and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled God and the Death Penalty is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order God and the Death Penalty today at kgov.com. That's God and the Death Penalty at kgov.com.
Stop Tebowing in the studio. Stop Tebowing in the studio. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Actually, Greg Jackson, you're welcome to continue praying. It's good to see you on
just,
your knees.
Yeah, I'm just getting prayed up before the show.
CNN Tuesday
Seems
night.
Seems to work for Tebow.
CNN Tuesday night on Piers Morgan. They had the cover of your book, Greg.
We won't get fooled again.
Piers Morgan read the whole title of the book with the subtitle.
He in that wonderful British accent of his.
He interviewed your co-author, Steve Dace. We won't get fooled again, where the Christian right went wrong and how to make America right again.
Praise God.
So, Greg, I thought your book is getting a lot of attention. It'd be great to have you in the studio to address something Sean Hannity said a week ago. And you just wrote a blog about it, so I think we're
ready. It all ties in.
It all ties in.
It all makes sense.
The polls are showing that the people aren't always right, but the people say that the government is headed in the wrong direction. Barack Obama has terribly low approval ratings, and when the government is heading in the wrong direction, that means people think, you know, the executive branch, the legislature, the Republicans control the House. It's headed in the wrong direction. So what did Sean Hannity say?
Well, I've heard Hannity say this more than once, but
yeah.
And it's not just Hannity.
No.
It's the mindset of most of our leading conservative pundits.
I roll radio.
TV, anybody but Obama.
Anybody but Obama. That,
you hear it all the time. Obama's the standard.
right.
And according
they
to that.
They would have said that about Hillary.
Well, for some reason, Ann Coulter did say in 2008, that if McCain became the GOP nominee, that she would campaign for and support Hillary.
Hillary. And so, in other words, anybody but Obama, it's the boogeyman syndrome. You have lost the standard. There's no longer a standard of truth and justice that flows from God. It's now merely human competition. And with no standard, I mean, I asked the chairman of the Colorado Republican Party, this is big money chairman a few years back, Bruce Benson, sitting in his office with an upper-level manager from IBM here in Colorado. I said, Bruce, you're saying we got to support whoever will kill fewer babies. I said, if you were in Germany and there was a candidate who would kill more Jews than Hitler, what would you do? And he said, I would support Hitler. If Hitler is going to kill fewer people than, and I said, who? Than Stalin? Because Joseph Stalin, the Soviet Union, they killed 20 million rather than 6 million Jews. And in Germany, the Stalinists, the Marxists, were competing with the Nazis in elections. And so by your reasoning, you would vote for the Nazi. You'd
right.
campaign for and the Nazi.
And I wish it were only confined to liberals. But as our book explains, we interviewed a number of leading conservative and Christian leaders, one of whom was Richard Land, Dr. Richard Land of the Southern Baptist Convention, head of religious ethics and liberty.
Who is a secular humanist, I hate to say it.
Well, yeah, and it comes clear. I think readers are going to be very surprised when they read our book, unfortunately.
He's a utilitarian, the greatest His good
world
for the greatest number of people.
That's right.
So
no different than what you just
So if somebody
related.
Says, kill your daughter or we'll kill your whole family, then what do you do with Richard Land's utilitarianism? You got to decide, boy, do I kill my daughter because the greatest good for the greatest number, that is not a moral foundation.
That's the type of stuff that your atheist college professor is teaching right now.
Right.
In terms of there's 10 people on a boat, but there's only room for 9. Who are you going to throw off?
It's John Stuart Mill's. It's humanism, secular humanism that has been embraced by folks on the family and the Southern Baptist with Richard Land. And by the way,
maybe people with the best of intentions. We're not judging their motives, but we're supposed to judge their fruit.
They're confused. They're confused. I think these people love the Lord.
But and unfortunately are confusing others.
I think they love the Lord, but they have been seduced by humanist arguments and by a political lust.
Yes.
Anybody but Obama. It's like sports. It's like a soap opera. It's my team.
Yankees, Red Sox.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So when Sean Hannity says anybody but Obama, that means in 8 years from now, he would support Obama versus some guy that's worse than Obama.
Yeah, if such a guy exists, it's kind of a scary thought.
Well,
but listen,
Mitt Romney,
that's true,
is worse than Obama.
People laugh when you say that, but it is true.
Of course it's true.
Because Romney, signing in Romney Care is to the left of Obamacare because it includes $50 copay, taxpayer-funded elective surgical
abortion on demand.
Obama wasn't even able to get that
one
through.
No, and neither is Hillary Clinton. So, yes, Jesus said that I'd rather you be hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Those who pretend to be pro-life, pro-family of a Christian worldview and who actually will stab you in the back as a Christian pastor or teacher or father, they're the ones who are more dangerous than the Hillary Clintons and Barack Obamas.
That's right. I think if you read in the Synoptic Gospels, Jesus' most harsh condemnation was reserved for the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes, the teachers of the law in his day. And the more things change, the more haven't changed, really.
Could we read through your entire blog why there is no strong majority support for any Republican candidate?
Well, I think that there's a lot of people listening right now I've been scratching my head, and I'm sure that there's other people who said, why is it that aside from, a couple candidates with minority support for these Republican candidates are so splintered, and there's such a lack of strong enthusiasm, poll after poll, for any individual. And I wrote a post about it.
Because
yesterday.
You're a salesman.
You want me to read the post?
Yeah.
All right, here it is. And by the way, you can go to gregjackson.com if you want to share it or read it.
And get the book, We Won't Get Fooled Again.
Yeah, it's only a couple days away from Christmas. You probably rush it, but I think it would make for a good gift. And I think that, honestly, we put 3 years, Steve Dace and I, in writing the book. And I don't think it has all of the answers for how to make America right again, which is our subtitle. But I think it goes a long way into giving a glimpse of why we failed over the past generation and the types of things that we need to do.
And Greg, I apologize.
To get back on the right track.
I grew up in New Jersey.
Yes.
I don't know how to pronounce the title of your book.
We Won't Get Fooled Again?
Won't.
Won't.
It's a long O, right? Won't.
Yeah.
I say,
how you say
ooh.
It? Won't?
Won't.
Won't get fooled
it's
again.
Won't.
Oh.
We won't get fooled again. See, I grew up in New Jersey.
Yeah, you're a Jersey
guy. I don't know
guy.
How to talk.
Well, yeah.
Can I have a cup of coffee?
Well, you've been out of Jersey for a while now, so you're talking
I'm working
much better.
On it. This is my latest word to work on. We won't get fooled again. Won't.
All right.
We won't get fooled again. So yeah, read your blog.
Here's the post. I write, aside from the Kool-Aid drinking Romney bots and Ron Paul clones, who comprise about 3 in 10 voters combined, which is about 20% for Romney and 10% for Paul, depending on the poll, the other 7 in 10 voters have shown no strong and consistent preference for any of the other candidates. You with me so far, Bob?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What explains this tepid and highly fractured support? I think that that is the main question.
Yeah.
As a guy who spent the last 2 decades in sales and sales management in the ultra-competitive high-tech software and medical device industries, which I have, I can tell you that the customer, which in this case is the voters, ain't buying what the candidates are trying to sell them. That's what I feel.
Whoa.
So I say, none of the GOP presidential candidates have come anywhere near closing the deal, not only with Iowans in the First in the Nation caucus state, but also with voters nationally.
So they're not sold. So,
I don't believe they are.
So
if they were,
is not sold.
It's one thing to have fractured support a lack of enthusiastic support at the beginning of the primary when voters don't know too much about certain candidates. But this far along into the process, with the first primary being a couple weeks from now, you'd think that there's somebody at break. And, you know, there's been a flavor of the month from Kane to now Gingrich, who looks like he's fading.
You know, Herman Cain's problem, when it turns out he had another affair, gave this woman a lot of money. His wife wouldn't speak to him for weeks.
Yes.
He didn't wait until his wife was dying of cancer before he had that affair.
He probably
and his wife found out.
See, if he had waited,
if he would
like
have waited.
Isn't that sad, though? That's
been
the standard.
Yeah.
He's like the standard bearer, the guy on his third marriage.
Yeah.
Left his wife on her deathbed.
I'm on my third marriage.
Well, I'm not saying just because you're on
you're absolutely right, Craig.
Essentially,
you're absolutely
someone who's
right.
a serial adulterer.
But in Newt Gingrich's case, when he wanted to run for president 4 years ago, out of the blue, he went on Focus on the Family's radio broadcast with James Dobson and repented for adultery. This was such a misuse of the heartstrings of the body of Christ for political partisan reasons to play this primary game.
So nakedly transparent.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. We're going to manipulate the Christians into preparing a candidate who had made no commitment to stop compromising on killing innocent children, which he had done his whole career. Now, I'm proud of Personhood USA for leading the way and telling these guys, hey, look, if you want to be considered part of the human race, you have to make a pledge that you'll never support the killing of a single innocent child.
That's right. No, I agree.
Yeah.
And I talk about that a little bit in this blog post because you're hitting on the most important issue, which is that I don't believe any of these candidates are speaking to the main issues that are on the hearts of the majority of the GOP base. So
Why?
I write, the candidates are talking, but they aren't clearly articulating what the majority of voters want to hear. And the heart and soul of the GOP, especially in the primaries, are evangelical Christians and Catholics, a.k.a. values voters. Some of the candidates have come close to speaking their language, most notably Newt Gingrich recently, but not enough to gain their confidence, trust, and energetic, committed support. Do you agree so far with my analysis?
Yeah.
So here are five major points, and I probably could have expounded on it, but I want to keep it simple.
No, this is good. It's nice and succinct.
5 points I have not heard one of the candidates clearly make that I believe would resonate strongly with the largely unenthusiastic conservative Christian base who are starving for moral clarity and consistency.
Wait. Can we take a rabbit trail for a moment and talk about consistency?
Yes.
Consistency, if you're evil, consistency is not a moral attribute.
But it has to be moral consistency is what I'm
saying. Right. And you say that here. You say that. So I exactly agree with you. But I'd just like to think through this for a moment. When you're thinking about truth, right, what is true or false? Error, consistency is an indicator that if something is inconsistent, it's definitely false. If it's consistent, it might be consistently false or consistently true. The same is valid regarding morality. If you're consistent, you might be consistently evil or you might be consistently good. If you're inconsistent, you know that you're sinning, you're immoral, because of your inconsistency. And so it's just something interesting to think through. Many years ago, Socrates leveled an argument against God and against the thought that right and wrong could come from God. And he didn't carefully think through his own argument. And creation.com addresses Euthyphro's dilemma. And I'll just throw in this commercial. They link, creation.com links to our answer to Euthyphro's dilemma, which is pretty exciting. We're thrilled about that. So consistency, God is morally consistent.
That's
right. He's consistent. And that consistency goes back through eternity past with the three persons of the Trinity, each affirming that they have no accusation against the others and they've never been harmed by the others. So God has the eternal threefold witness from within the Trinity that he is good and loving.
Amen.
So that's really
that was
neat.
A nice little mini sermon because you're pointing out the distinction between consistency and moral consistency.
Yeah, exactly.
And
you say that in your post, which is why I wanted to highlight it, Greg.
Well,
it's so cool.
Because it wouldn't have been complete had I not added the word moral clarity and consistency.
Right.
That's what I believe
yeah.
that voters want to hear about. That's the message.
Hi, my name is Jo Scott. I've been a pro-life sidewalk counselor outside of abortion mills for the past 27 years, and I've seen hundreds of moms change their mind, and scores of them have trusted in Christ. Every day I'm confronted by people with accusations and questions about God, so my understanding of the Bible needs to be accurate and defensible. One of the most valuable tools in my ministry is Bob Enyart's manuscript, The Plot. Although I was educated in theology, I didn't quite understand how to rightly divide the word of truth. After reading The Plot, questions that I had for years were answered, and that in turn made me a more effective witness on the street. I would strongly recommend The Plot to anyone who has a real desire to represent God's word responsibly and accurately to our lost and dying world. I'm hoping that you will order The Plot online at kgov.com. That's kgov.com, or by calling 1-800-8-ENYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 800-836-9278.
Point number one, here are 5 points I've not heard one candidate clearly make that I believe would resonate strongly with the largely unenthusiastic conservative Christian base that is starving for moral clarity and consistency. Number one, the primary duty of civil government is to protect the inalienable right to life. Have you ever heard one candidate say that, Bob?
I don't think so.
I've not heard that. None of our other rights can be secure if the right to life for every person is not secure from the very beginning of life, at fertilization. Until natural death, which is essentially what the personhood pledges.
Mm-hmm.
As president, I will enforce. Now, I've never heard one candidate say this, Bob.
This part,
but
you're right.
I believe
nobody,
people,
nobody has
this
said
is
this.
What people are starving to hear, especially the heart
and soul.
Well,
this is leadership, and this would take guts, but it's just
to
basic
say
human
this
decency.
Next sentence. As president, I will enforce the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution as I am bound by my solemn oath to do, which guarantees that no state shall deprive any person of life without due process of the law and equal protection under the laws. And was that so hard to say?
Wow.
In other words, I will abide by my sworn oath. I'll do my job that you're hiring me to do. But nobody has come out and said that. If they did, they'd clearly distinguish themselves from the other candidates and provide that moral consistency and clarity that I believe voters are yearning to hear. Furthermore, as president, I will protect and defend the God-given right to life wherever and whenever individual states are alienating the inalienable right to life. The time to end the silent genocide, 55 million preborn babies who have been murdered in the past 40 years, is now. We can wait no longer. As president,
wow,
I won't.
Greg, you're a messianic believer.
I am.
You are.
Just like all of the original believers
That's
were.
Right.
I'm in good company.
In the book of Acts.
That's right.
And throughout the last 2,000 years.
I don't know what tribe I'm from.
And
like
dear
Saul
friends
was from
of,
Benjamin. But
dear friends of ours, and my own dad, Pops, my stepdad, who's a messianic believer. And so I haven't asked you this in the past. Did you have family members who were in Europe during World War II and the Holocaust?
I did. My mother-in-law grew up in Israel. Was in the Israeli army.
Annie's mom.
But, yeah. My father-in-law was in Hungary, escaped from the communists in 1956. Unbelievable story.
Wow.
Inspirational guy. And on both sides of our family, I believe that we had members of our family that were actually in concentration camps.
Oh, my. Wow. So when you're talking about we need to end the silent genocide now, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, for every human being, we should be able to recognize the horror of dismembering these kids. But I think when someone has a family heritage where family members were persecuted,
no, I understand.
There's more of a connection there
well,
to
there should be.
Injustice.
It's an intentional murder, right,
yeah.
of an entire class of people. In this case,
yeah.
in terms of abortion, mm-hmm. it's the preborn baby class, which have
yeah.
been
and
treated as subhuman.
And Greg Jackson, 2 G's, gregjackson.com, one of our dear friends.
Just call me Double G.
Double G.
Yeah, it's my rap name.
Greg with 3 G's. One of our dear friends who wrote a book, he survived concentration camps, Mauthausen. Please remember us. He's died recently, but not before he signed the personhood petition in Colorado, and his rabbi was there at his home.
Wow.
And Greg, his rabbi was asking him, don't sign. And Keith Mason, founder of Personhood USA, and I were there. We had just had dinner with Martin Small. And he said, I saw this. I saw this in Europe. I saw it at Mauthausen. When I came to this country after the war, I was in New York City. And there was an abortionist in a building I managed. And I got him out of the building. I'm going to sign this. It's wrong to kill a baby. And Martin Small signed the personhood.
If only our presidential
petition.
Candidates had that moral clarity and discernment.
Yeah. Well, four of them have
That's
signed
moral
the
clarity.
Personhood pledge.
That's moral
so,
clarity.
So praise God for that.
No,
so, that,
and that is a positive development.
Yeah.
I'm not knocking that.
Oh, yeah. No,
but
I know.
But what I'm saying
you,
is I believe that the candidates.
The president should say, I have the authority because it's in the 14th Amendment.
Yes, we should
it's
pass
in the
personhood
Fifth Amendment.
Legislation,
it's
but
in
it
the
already
preamble.
Exists, and I'm going to enforce it if states won't.
Good.
That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Point number two, our founding national charter, the Declaration, states explicitly that our rights come from God and that governments are instituted among men to protect those God-given rights. As president, I will veto any laws contrary to God's divinely revealed law, since any law contrary to God's law is no law at all.
Yeah, now Mitt Romney did
Aquinas, the
opposite,
Bible.
Right? Mitt Romney yep. did the opposite. The Massachusetts State Supreme Court said, we want the legislature to review the law on marriage because we think homosexuals should get married. So they didn't do anything.
Yeah, they urged the legislature.
They didn't order them.
No.
They said, review this. But the legislature didn't do anything. Now, if the legislature had bowed down to the court and passed a law that said homosexuals could marry, Romney, as the governor, should have vetoed that law. He should have vetoed it.
Right, because even if they legalized it legislatively, it still wouldn't have been legal because any
law
contrary to God's law
is
no law at all.
At all. So you cannot justly say that homosexuals could get married. You can't marry a dog or a cat. You can't marry your son or your daughter.
There's no way to legally murder a child.
Right. So anyway, Romney, if they had done what the court requested, Romney should have vetoed it. Instead, the legislature did nothing, and Romney enacted it anyway.
Romney was to the left of the communist Massachusetts
State
Beacon Hill
Supreme
legislature.
Court and the legislature.
And
you're exactly
Margaret
right.
Margaret Marshall, who issued the opinion, is an avowed communist.
So what Romney did was he took the court and he turned it into an activist court on steroids.
Yes.
And he's done that in the past. So Republicans say, like Sean Hannity, well, we're against activist judges. Are you kidding me? Romney takes the fantasy of the judges and he enacts it.
No, you're exactly right. And what an opportunity it could have been in the last, I don't know, 10 debates for at least one of the candidates to have pointed out what you just pointed out, taking Mitt Romney head on. Santorum did it. I don't know if you caught this from the last debate. But Steve Dace wrote a wonderful article about it at his website where Rick Santorum was the only candidate to point out what you just articulated, which is that Mitt Romney and Mitt Romney alone unilaterally, illegally, and unconstitutionally implemented same-sex marriage in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
But what an opportunity. This is what I'm talking about,
and
Bob.
And the Massachusetts state constitution explicitly says
yes.
that only the legislature and the governor could affect laws on marriage. Only, and here's the Supreme Court saying, well, we think homosexuals should get married.
They didn't even have subject matter jurisdiction to hear the case in the first place.
And Romney implements it.
That's right.
Activist court on steroids, that's Mitt Romney.
That's right.
All right. Or, so number three.
Or a tyrannical executive branch, actually.
Yeah.
It's a tyrannical executive branch.
Number three.
Number three, I'm going to fly through them. The Supreme Court is the weakest of the three branches by design, wielding neither the power of the sword nor the power of the purse. No judge possesses the authority to rule by judicial fiat that it is okay to murder babies, that homosexuality or bestiality that God says is an abomination can somehow be legal, to change God's definition of marriage, which he himself created, or that the government has the right to steal from its citizens. I will, as president, respect the court's administrative opinions when they are in accordance with the laws of nature and nature's God, but will ignore any court opinion contrary to it and call for the removal of the judges who issue any of these illegal and anti-constitutional opinions.
So if a court in Germany says, kill this man because he's Jewish and he hoarded eggs, well, then no governing official should obey the court. None, not one. And so this is an example. I like that leadership, Greg. Number four.
And presidents should just say, sorry, I'm going to ignore it, just like past presidents have done. And I'm going to call for your impeachment.
And liberals do that all the time.
That's right.
They don't like the ruling.
That's exactly right.
Even appellate courts and all, they ignore the Supreme Court and they rule opposite. And then they get overturned sometime. But they do it all the time because they're trying to stick with their godless principles.
That's right.
But those who claim godly principles are afraid to stand on them.
That's right. And that's why we're losing. That's why we continue to get fooled. Number four, as president, I promise to repeal Obamacare, not just because it's an economically inefficient socialist rationing scheme, which it is, but I promise to repeal Obamacare because government doesn't possess the authority to force any citizen to purchase any good or service. Obamacare is bad because it is morally wrong.
Wow.
It's unconstitutional because it is contrary to the laws of nature and nature's God.
Hey,
Bob,
that reminds
people are
me of your book.
If we would just have God's standard be the standard, we wouldn't continue.
Get fooled again. Brandon House, you guys interviewed him.
Yes.
And he said in your book, he said, we don't have a financial crisis. We have a moral crisis.
A code blue.
We don't have a medical care
crisis.
We have a moral crisis.
That's right.
Wow.
And this is what I'm talking about in this post. Mm. This is what I believe would resonate.
Yeah, this is good.
As president, number five, last, I will veto any and all unconstitutional spending and propose a 10% flat tax for every American, as well as 0% capital gains, 0% corporate income tax. No American should pay more to the government than they tithe at their local church.
Now, wait a minute. 0%? We have 1 minute left.
Yes. Why?
Zero corporate income tax?
Yeah.
Shouldn't they pay their fair share?
They already pay. It's double taxation. And corporations,
pass it on to the consumer.
That's right, in terms of higher prices.
It's basic economics 101. Liberals and Republicans are ignorant.
Most of them are.
Yeah.
Yes.
It should be so clear.
But there's a biblical undergirding to this, Bob. When God's natural law ceases to become the standard, then we continue to fall for the types of leaders that claim to have our best interests at heart, but are really ignoring the main foundational biblical moral issues. Dealing with them are the only answer to what ails America.
Hey,
until we deal with those, Bob, we're just going down a rabbit trail. We're just deceiving ourselves, deluding ourselves that anything's going to get any better. Because we're dealing with the symptoms.
I like you advocating a flat income tax. I debated Neil Bortz and Ken Hoagland on the fair tax, 22% national sales tax. And I think we slaughtered him, Greg. And it's on kgov.com.
I'm sure you did.
Sales tax. Hey, God bless you. Thanks for writing the book. And what a great blog at gregjackson.com.